Thank you so much, choir. What a wonderful anthem on this weekend. Good morning to all of you. My name is Bruce Armstrong. It's a real pleasure to be here on this special occasion. I was driving down from Vancouver this morning and remembering that my first encounter with First Presbyterian Church Salem was about 20 years ago, I think. I was living in Olympia, Washington at the time, and serving a church there, and I saw a Christmas Eve service from this very sanctuary. Some of you might have been there, right? That was quite an occasion. What a beautiful service it was. And I learned later that that service was not live broadcast on Christmas Eve, but broadcast, I believe, in the summer. Is that right? In August. So Christmas in August, with the sanctuary decorated for Christmas. I'm sure that was quite an undertaking, but a very beautiful result. In recent years, my relationship with your church has been through my good friend Karen Renner. For the last 10 years or so, Karen and I have been involved in a pastor support group together. There were five of us, all associate pastors. We met together monthly and kind of helped each other in times of crisis, shared our needs, shared our joys, shared our opportunities. At that time, I was serving as associate pastor at Columbia Presbyterian Church in Vancouver, and then retired several years ago. But Karen has been a dear friend. I have relied upon and appreciated her insight and her counsel during those years. So it's for those reasons, it's a great pleasure to be with you. Would you join me in prayer? Gracious God, we pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive what you want to say to us this morning through your word. And help us to not simply be hearers of the word, but doers as well through Christ our Lord. Amen. Although the calendar tells us that there are 34 more days in this year of 2016, this is the last Sunday of the church year. The liturgical year, the church calendar begins next Sunday with the first Sunday of Advent, and concludes 51 weeks later with this day, which is Christ the King Sunday. Advent, as you well know, is the season of preparation for Christmas. It's 4 weeks of anticipating the day when we remember that God came into our world in the smallest of human dimensions as a baby, born in Bethlehem. During Advent, we sing hymns like, "Come, thou long-expected Jesus," and O come, Emmanuel, God with us." Advent is a wonderful season of colors and sounds as we wait for the angel announcement. "I bring you good news of great joy for all people, for today is born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's Advent. And we are here on the Sunday before Advent, Christ the King Sunday. This is a day that in many ways sets the stage for Advent. It's the day we echo the hymn writer's question, "What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping?" And we answer that with that great chorus, this is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. You know, we need this focus today, in our world today, perhaps more than ever. You may have sensed that there's a good deal of anxiety in our world, in our nation. And we need this day to remind us of who it is we welcome through the Advent season and on Christmas. We're also facing the danger that comes every year, the danger of being distracted by the events in the world and by our own preparation for Christmas from the one who is the true center. Yes, Christmas is about Jesus. Some time ago, I clipped a cartoon from a magazine that showed a couple sitting at the breakfast table. One said to the other, "Well, the holiday season is cresting and about to come crashing down on us. Do you have any last words before we're engulfed?" And we do get engulfed, both by the events in the world, the events in our nation, and our own busyness. It's easy to lose focus. The onslaught of commercial promotion is in full swing. But Christ the King's Sunday pulls us back. It pulls us to the center. It reminds us that exchanging gifts and gathering with family and friends and being involved in church activities is good, but it's not the most important. This day, Christ the King's Sunday, keeps us from being too charmed or too distracted by all the trappings of this season. Our first text this morning comes from the first chapter of that rather strange biblical book, the Revelation to John. Remember that this is a letter written to churches in the first century by the author John, who is in prison, in his own words, because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. John is persecuted for his faith. And in this setting, he is given an elaborate series of visions that 2,000 years later, we're still trying to fully understand. John begins with a very clear declaration of the central figure in all those visions. Listen again to verses 4-6. John, to the seven churches who are in Asia Minor, writing to real people, grace and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and freed us by his grace and made us to be a kingdom. Jesus is identified in John's revelation as ruler of the kings of the earth. But what kind of king is Jesus? Well, we gain some insight into that question from our second scripture reading this morning from the Gospel of John. Let me remind you of its setting. Chapter 18 of John opens with the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. Judas has led the Jewish authorities to Jesus while he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus is taken before Caiaphas, the Jewish high priest, and then on to Pilate, the official representative of Rome. Because the Jewish authorities could accuse Jesus, but they had no authority to punish him. So Jesus comes before Pilate. It's clear that Pilate is very uneasy about this, his role in this event. He's caught in the middle of a very awkward situation. When he can't remove himself, he begins to question Jesus. "Are you the King of the Jews?" Now, Pilate knew something about kings. He knew about King Herod, the puppet king of Israel, who was set in place by the real power in Rome. He was a figurehead, a king without power, a king without authority. "Jesus, are you a king like Herod?" Pilate also knew about the Roman Emperor Caesar. while not called a king, there is no question that he's a ruler, and he rules with an iron fist. He's the one who represents the power of Rome. Jesus, are you a king like Caesar? Pilate's question, what kind of king are you? A powerless figurehead or a ruthless tyrant? Is a good question. And the response of Jesus is this: my kingdom is not from this world. In other words, the kingdom of Jesus is very different. The kingdom of Jesus is not the rule of a monarch over territory. It's the rule of a loving God over the hearts and minds and lives of men and women. It's not territorial, it's relational. Oh, he's a king, all right. Make no mistake about it. If you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia, that marvelous series of children's books by C.S. Lewis, you may remember the scene where the children first meet Aslan the lion, who is the figure of Christ in the stories. The children are in the home of Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, who tell them that Aslan, the great lion, they tell them about Aslan, the great lion. One of the children responds, "I have never met a lion. Is he quite safe?" And Mr. Beaver replies, "Safe? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king. Aslan is not a safe lion. And Jesus Christ is not a king we control. He's not safe, but he's good." Scripture tells us that there is a day when all humanity will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is king. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, according to the Apostle Paul. Perhaps you have seen the rock on the table in Pastor Dell's office. I was snooping in the office and found the rock right on a tabletop. And on one side of the rock, it said, "Jesus Christ is Lord of..." And I couldn't resist turning it over, and it said, "Salem." Jesus Christ is Lord of Salem. He is. But we might also, in Dell's absence, scratch off Salem and just write "the world." For he is Lord of all. Jesus Christ is king over all. A Christian is a person who has made this discovery of the kingship, the lordship of Jesus Christ, and bowed in humble submission. Pilate's question, "What kind of king are you?" is a great question for us on this day, in this season, in this time in our national and international history. It's a question to ponder. What kind of king is Jesus in your life today, in my life today? Is he a figurehead? The kind of king you can acknowledge at your convenience? The king you can recognize at Christmas or on Sunday morning but ignore the rest of the time? Or perhaps you see Jesus as a tyrant, someone who's out to ruin your life, a king to be avoided? Here's another question for this day and for this season. If Jesus is king, as he claims to be, if you acknowledge him as king, what are the borders? What are the boundaries of that kingdom? Where are the places in your life where Jesus Christ is not king? Jesus is the king who gave himself fully for us, as Revelation reminds us. He's the one who bore our sins in his body on the cross and invites us to recognize his complete lordship. He's the loving Savior, and he's the Lord of all. Crown him so in your life today. Amen. Would you pray with me?